Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you are enjoying these studies, help us get the message out and share them with your friends. Remember to support Beth Emmanuel with your tithes and offerings by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
The Shabbat before Pesach is called Shabbat Hagadol. Shabbat Hagadol is called Shabbat Hagadol because on this Shabbat, we read the Haftarah from Malachi that says, "Look, I will send to you Eliyahu the prophet before the coming of the great, the gadol, and terrible day of Hashem." Malachi 3:23. Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. So it's called Shabbat HaGadol in view of the Yom HaGadol, the great day of the Lord, the great day of Hashem. That's the Haftarah for the Shabbat before Pesach. The Haftarah for the Shabbat that falls during Pesach is the passage from the prophet Yechezkel, which says, "Prophesy over these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear what Hashem has to say. Then you will know that I am Hashem when I have opened your graves and made you get up out of your graves, my people." That's Ezekiel 37. And so this is the main prophecy of the resurrection of the dead, a prophecy for the time of the redemption, and as such, it's connected with the larger theme of the day of the Lord. Then, finally, at the end of Pesach, on the last day of Pesach, the eighth day, we read the prophecy from Isaiah 11, which is the principal prophecy of the Messiah and the Messianic era, the one that begins, "A branch will emerge from the trunk of Yishai, a shoot will grow from his roots, the spirit of Hashem will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding," and so forth. That's Isaiah 11. So we see in Pesach, this progression from Elijah, who comes before the great and fearsome day of Hashem, to the resurrection of the dead, which happens in the great and fearsome day of Hashem, to the prophecy of Mashiach, Messiah, in the redemption and the Messianic era as a component of the day of the Lord. These Haftarah prophecies are hinting to us that the festival of Pesach is closely connected with this concept of the day of the Lord. One might say that the Exodus from Egypt was a rehearsal for the day of the Lord. If I was to put you on the spot and ask you, what is the day of the Lord? Would you be able to give an answer? It's a huge concept in the Tanakh, especially in the prophets. It comes into the New Testament under lots of titles, such as the Day of God. Yeshua refers to it most often as the Day of Judgment. And he says things like, "It will be more tolerable on the Day of Judgment for the people of Sodom and Amorah than for that town." Paul refers to it as the Day of Wrath. Romans 2, 5 and 6, he says, "But by your stubbornness, by your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, for he will pay back each one according to his deeds." But for those who have taken refuge under the shelter of the Mashiach, Paul also refers to the day of the Lord as the day of our Master Yeshua the Messiah, the day of the Messiah, and the day of salvation, and the day of final redemption. So, which one is it? Wrath or salvation? What exactly is the day of Hashem? In the biblical prophecies, the day of Hashem simply means the day that Hashem takes action to intervene. Our Haftarah portion describes it exactly thus: "The day when I take action," Malachi 3:21. So anytime God intervenes directly in human history, it could be called a day of Hashem. And that was certainly the case in Egypt. God intervened directly through the 10 plagues on Egypt, and the whole world saw his glory. But the prophets looked toward an ultimate Yom Hashem, an ultimate day of Hashem, when God will intervene by making good on all the promises to the fathers, and he will redeem the nation of Israel and defeat the Gentile nations and establish his theocratic monarchy that we call the kingdom of heaven and judge the wicked and reward the righteous and repay each one according to his deeds. And you have to lump all of those concepts together, all of those end times expectations of what God is going to do at the end of the age to make things right, and all of that together, that's called the day of the Lord, Yom HaShem. Obviously, not a literal 24-hour day. Instead, the apostles understood it in terms of 1,000 years. For the psalm says that with Hashem, a day is as 1,000 years. And in Bereshit, it says, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam ate of it and died 70 years before he reached the age of 1,000. Yet the focus of the day of Hashem is on that singular day when the Mashiach comes and every eye will see him and the nations will mourn. My teacher, Reb Yossi Tov, used to say, every time the prophets say Bayom Hahu, and in that day, it refers to the Yom Hashem, the day of the Lord. This makes a good rule of thumb for reading the Bible. Just remember that. Whenever the prophets say, and in that day, it's talking about the coming day of Hashem, the day of the Lord, when Mashiach comes. And if you do that, you're going to be right more often than you're wrong. Shabbat HaGadol is just shorthand for Shabbat Yom Hashem HaGadol, which means the Sabbath of the great day of Hashem. The implication is that when we are on the edge of Pesach, just before Passover, we teeter on the edge of the day of the Lord. And therefore, we read the words from Malachi, before the coming of the great and fearsome day of Hashem. I'll send you Eliyahu Hanavi. Last year, I started thinking about the custom of pouring a cup for Eliyahu at the Seder table, and I spoke about that on the first day of Yom Tov. In that teaching, we looked at the custom of setting a cup for Eliyahu, a fifth cup, and we talked about why it occurs, where it does, in the sequence of the Seder, and we talked about what it signifies, and we talked about why we read those three unpleasant passages of Scripture in conjunction with Elijah's cup. Let me briefly recapitulate what we learned. First of all, we observed that the cup of Elijah, the cup of Eliyahu, is poured at a pivotal point in the Seder. It's poured after the meal, after the conclusion, actually, after the conclusion of all the things that you are obligated to do to observe the Passover. You've already addressed the four questions. You've already discussed the Exodus from Egypt. You've already sung the first two Psalms of the Hallel, which are about the Exodus from Egypt. You have discussed the significance of the Pesach lamb, the bitter herbs, and the matzah, thereby fulfilling the requirement of Rabban Gamliel. And you have eaten all three of them and completed the meal, and you've already eaten the afikoman in the place of the Pesach lamb, and you have even said the grace after meals. So it seems like the meal should be over at this point. And usually by then, your guests assume that the meal is over and they're ready to go home at this point. But it's at this point, when it seems like everything is done, that you pour the cup for Elijah, because it's not over yet. And as you pour the cup for Elijah, you go and check the door to see if Elijah has arrived. And in conjunction with the pouring of the cup of Elijah, you recite these three passages. It says, pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. That's from Psalm 79, Psalm 69, and Lamentations 3. If you don't know what's happening, all of this seems puzzling. Why are we checking for Elijah? Why are we pouring a cup for Elijah? Why are we beseeching God to do such nasty things to the Gentile nations? In the modern era, it's become fashionable in some circles to replace these passages with more politically correct, gentle versions. Pour out your love and mercy on the nations, rather than pour out your wrath upon the nations. But that's because people don't know what Yom HaShem is. That's true of Christians, too. Christians don't understand the day of the Lord, because they don't read the prophets. And whenever they read the New Testament, a veil is over their eyes that keeps them from perceiving. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Yeshayahu, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but never understand, and keep on seeing, but never perceive, because the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, so as not to see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and do tshuva so that I could heal them, do repentance so that I could heal them." The day of Hashem is a day of judgment on which Hashem will judge his people, yes, but he will also punish the nations. The prophet Amos says, "Woe to you who want the day of Hashem. Why do you want it, this day of Hashem? It is darkness and not light." The prophet Zephaniah says, "The great day of Hashem is near, near and coming quickly. Hear the sound of the day of Hashem. When it's here, even a warrior will cry bitterly. That day is a day of fury, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick fog, a day of the shofar and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the high towers on the city walls. I will bring such distress on people that they will grope their way like the blind because they have sinned against Hashem. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their bowels like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them. On that day of Hashem's fury, the whole land will be destroyed in the fire of his jealousy. For he will make an end, a horrible end, of all those living in the land. Zephaniah chapter 1, 14 through 18. Yet, for Israel, for the remnant of Israel that have survived to see the day of Hashem, it is not a day of fury, but a day of salvation and redemption for those who fear the Lord. Our Haftarah in Malachi says that the day of Hashem comes like a burning furnace to consume the wicked, but to you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will break out leaping like calves released from the stall. You will trample the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I take action, says the Lord of hosts, Hashem Tzavaot. This is what we have in view in the Passover Seder as we pour the cup for Eliyahu, the cup for Elijah, as we check for Elijah at the door, as we invoke Hashem's wrath upon the nations. From that point in the Seder to the end of the Seder, we aren't talking about the Exodus from Egypt any longer. Instead, the Seder has moved on to discuss the coming day of the Lord, when the cup of Hashem's wrath will be poured out on the nations. And this is actually why we split the Hallel into two sections. The two psalms from the Hallel pertaining to the Exodus from Egypt are recited in the first part of the meal. That's Psalm 113, Psalm 114. But the rest of the psalms of the Hallel, Psalms 115 through 118, are about the final redemption. Psalm 115 begins with Israel in distress, in the Hevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Messiah. Psalm 116 praises Hashem for deliverance from the nations. Psalm 117 calls on the nations to submit to Hashem, to praise Him, to worship Him, and acknowledge Him. Then comes Psalm 118, the great thanksgiving hymn for the redemption, to welcome the Messiah. So to understand the Seder, you have to see that it divides into two main parts. Everything up through the grace after meals pertains to the first redemption, the Exodus from Egypt. starting with the cup of Elijah. Everything after the meal pertains to the day of the Lord and the final redemption. The cup of Elijah is the pivot point that divides the Seder into two parts, past and future. The cup of Elijah is not for Elijah. It's for the Messiah. Elijah is just the forerunner of the Messiah. So he will hand the cup to the Messiah, and the Messiah will pour it out on the nations in the day of the Lord. Not only will this help you understand the Seder, but this same principle should help you understand the whole Bible and everything that has happened in history and is happening in the world around you today. All of human history is leading up to a pivotal moment when everything changes. And that pivotal moment is the day of the Lord, Yom HaShem. It includes the coming tribulation, the birth pangs, the coming of the Messiah, the ingathering of Israel, the war of Gog and Magog, God's wrath upon the nations, the resurrection of the dead, the rebuilding of the temple, the establishment of the kingdom, the throne of David, and ultimately the final judgment. All of it taken together, all of that taken together is the day of the Lord. And after that is the kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth of the world to come that we call eternal life. What does all of this have to do with Passover? Passover celebrates the first redemption, but it also looks forward to the future redemption, just as Moses is called the first redeemer and the Messiah is called the last redeemer or the ultimate redeemer. This is why our master said to his disciples that he will not eat of the Passover again or drink the fruit of the vine again until he is able to do so in his Father's kingdom. In this message about the coming day of Hashem, we find the entire thrust of the gospel message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is the same as saying, repent quickly, for the day of Hashem is about to happen. It's really central to the story. And if you read the New Testament in light of the day of the Lord, you will find it spoken about either directly or by inference in pretty much every chapter. Now, since the war of Gog and Magog began last October, we have seen the clear divide between Israel and the nations forming. The nations clamor for the destruction of Israel. They speak the language of their father, the devil, in an endless stream of lies and propaganda to make their case against Israel and against the Jewish people. They are singularly focused on the destruction and dismantling of Israel. They scheme and plot against the Jewish state, and they foment hatred for the Jewish people and for the God of Israel. These are the nations who are busy storing up wrath for themselves to be revealed in the day of wrath. These are the nations that are in view when we pour the cup of Eliyahu, saying, pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob, laid waste his habitation. Pour out your indignation. May your burning anger overtake them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. The story of Passover, the sending of Moses, his confrontations with Pharaoh, the 10 plagues on Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the drowning of the Egyptian, the entire story is like a rehearsal for the day of the Lord, a smaller scale version of the universal scale day of wrath and day of judgment that God will unleash upon the nations on the day that he redeems his people. This is best illustrated in the idea of the 10th plague, when Hashem himself strikes down the firstborn, not through an angel, it says in the Haggadah, not through a messenger, not through a seraph, but Hashem himself intervening to punish the nation of Egypt and to redeem his people. The important thing to note is that he provided an avenue of escape, an avenue of salvation, which was, of course, the Pesach lamb, the blood on the doorposts of the house, under which a person could take refuge which transforms the day of wrath into a day of salvation. This is the same message that we proclaim: Messiah crucified, Messiah risen, providing an avenue of escape under which a person can take refuge through repentance in his name, transforming the day of wrath into a day of salvation. As it says in Psalm 116 of the Hallel, I will raise the kos yeshuot, the cup of salvations, and call upon the name of Hashem. I will call upon the name of Hashem. A cup of wrath is poured out upon the nations which do not know you, and the kingdoms which, it says, do not call upon your name. But in the Hallel, in Psalm 116, it says, I will raise the cup of salvations and call on the name of Hashem. And the prophets say, everyone who calls on the name of Hashem will be saved. And Simon Peter says, for there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. Under the shelter and in the refuge of the name of Yeshua, we call upon the name of Hashem to be spared from the coming day of wrath, like the firstborn under the blood of the Lamb in the homes of Egypt. So that is the message that we proclaim. It's so simple. There is a coming day of trouble. It is near and coming very quickly. On that day, even a warrior will cry bitterly. Even the military will cry bitterly. A day of fury. It's a day of trouble and distress. It's a day of waste and desolation. It's a day of darkness and gloom. It's a day of wrath like a blazing furnace, when everything will be burned up and nothing in this world will be able to save you. Not your silver, not your gold, not the economy, not your government, not your elected officials, not the police, not the military, not your doctors, not the internet, not AI, not your smartphone, not your generators and bottled water, not your guns, not your ammunition, your food supplies. There will be nothing upon which to rely except this hope of taking shelter in the household of the children of Israel, marked with the blood of the Lamb, under the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, while the destroyer passes over in the day of Hashem. Then those who survive will look out on a new day and see a new world and sing a new song. Hallelujah! Praise Hashem, all you nations. Worship Him, all you peoples. For His devotion has been bestowed upon us, and Hashem's truth continues forever. Hallelujah! Give thanks to Hashem, for He is good. For His devotion continues forever. Ki le'olam chasdo. Now let Israel say, Ki le'olam chasdo. Now let the house of Aharon say, Ki le'olam chasdo. Now, let those who fear Hashem say, Ki le'olam chasdo.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.